Please stand with me for this morning's scripture reading from Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat and what you'll drink, or about your body and what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and gone tomorrow, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, do not worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. God knows that you need them. Instead, seek first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Friends, this is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so now, gracious God, in these moments, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts, together in this place and in all places, be found pleasing to you. O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Reverend Anna Bladell wrote a reflection this week about an image they have kept returning to over the past few months. It's an image taken from the Hubble telescope of what astronomers have called the pillars of creation. These towers of cosmic dust and gas that are several thousand light years away from us, this distance that is beyond our comprehension. But these unimaginable pillars in a galaxy far, far away carry something pretty spectacular within them. They hold newborn stars. It's as if the universe has formed a baby nursery, and the pillars of creation are the place light years away where stars are born. And so Bladell writes in this reflection that this fantastic photograph of the pillars of creation has been an anchor for them over the past few months. Because even in these moments right now when nothing feels okay, it reminds them that somewhere out there, stars are still being born. And I thought we might need a reminder like that, especially after a week like this one, when a 16-year-old JCPS student, Tyree Smith, was shot and killed at the bus stop early Wednesday morning, with two more students injured. When we have already surpassed last year's number of children who were wounded by gun violence here in Louisville, and it's only September. When we have seen heartbreaking photographs of Border Patrol agents on horseback grabbing Haitian migrant families in Texas after they crossed the border seeking refuge. And of course, when COVID continues to rear its ugly head among us, I know several in our church family have lost dear friends and coworkers and loved ones just this week, and they are devastated. Our neighboring towns in eastern Kentucky are experiencing some of the highest rates of COVID in the nation, and local hospitals have begun calling on the National Guard for help. And so, friends, if you are feeling overwhelmed today, you're not alone. Jesus meets us here. As we have noted throughout this series, we believe Jesus meets us in this prayer, one that we offer when sometimes we feel as if we don't have the words to pray. And so today we turn one more time to this prayer that Jesus taught us, this time focusing on the final words of the prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Except I have to point out that Jesus actually didn't teach us these particular words of the prayer. In both Matthew and Luke's versions, Jesus ends this prayer by asking for deliverance from evil or from trial and temptation. But over the years, our Christian tradition has added on to this prayer what many people have called a doxology, an expression of praise to God, like what we sing at the end of our worship service every week. But I actually believe that this doxology is a perfect note for us to end on. Because you see, we can pray this prayer for God's kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. And we can orient our life around these words. But we must also acknowledge that as hard as we work, we can't do this kingdom building work on our own. Because at the end of the day, everything belongs to God. God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's kingdom, God's world, God's universe is so much bigger than you and I and our finite understanding could ever fully grasp or imagine. Which is why it's important to remind ourselves that even when nothing feels okay right now, stars are still being born. And everything and everyone belongs to God and is being held in God's loving arms. And so all of this reminds me of the passage in Matthew I read for us moments ago, which actually closes this chapter where Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. Just verses after he finishes this prayer, Jesus goes on to remind the disciples not to worry about the things that are happening around them. Because if God clothes the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, which are here today and gone tomorrow, then how much more will God care for you and for me? Our job is to seek first the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We can't neglect this work, right? But then right there alongside it, Jesus invites us not to worry, to do our part to help bring about the kingdom today, and then to trust that all will be well. Julian of Norwich was a 14th century mystic who wrote the prayer, "All will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well." Her book of prayers and reflections is actually thought to be the oldest surviving book written by a woman in the English language. But it's important to note that these are not just carefree words she wrote in her journal on a sunshiny day. Julian of Norwich was actually writing and reflecting during a time of great suffering and uncertainty. The Hundred Years' War between England and France began before she was born and continued long after she died. And as often is the case during war, famine was also prevalent throughout England at the time. But what might be most interesting to us is that Julian was also writing during a pandemic, during the bubonic plague, which decimated much of Europe. It is believed today that between 25 and 50 million people died, up to 60% of Europe's whole population. These severe outbreaks of the plague were occurring in Julian's home city throughout her lifetime, and at one point she nearly died as well. She lived much of her life in isolation, in a one-room cell off of the side of the church. And so most of her interactions with the world around her took place through the walls and windows, which perhaps isn't too unfamiliar to us after the past year and a half. At a time of unimaginable suffering, many others who were writing at the time spoke about the wrath and judgment of God they believed they were experiencing between the Hundred Years' War and the famine and the bubonic plague. And yet somehow Julian of Norwich wrote not about despair or judgment, but about this genuine hope that all really would be well. However, even knowing that, I still want to name that this is a phrase that is tough to swallow. I mean, for many of us, these words may sound insensitive or just plain ignorant. At a time like this, how could we speak these words with any smidge of authenticity? How can we say that all will be well at a time like this? But interestingly enough, Julian of Norwich actually writes the same question in her journal. After she has this vision of Jesus saying these words to her, she writes, "Good Lord, how could all things be well because of the great harm which has come to your creatures?" But then she hears God say to her, "I will make all things well. I can make all things well. And you will see that yourself, that all things will be well." And Julian goes on to reflect on that moment with God for over 30 years before she publishes her book or she shares these words with anyone else. And so these are not words of someone writing a cheesy Hallmark card statement while wearing rose-colored glasses, nor are they the words of someone putting their head in the sand and pretending like all the bad stuff will simply go away. Instead, these are the words of someone who has deeply experienced suffering. And for over 30 years between her journal writings and her book's publication, she's trying to make sense of it all. Perhaps these were words that she could only whisper. Maybe she couldn't even say them out loud, but just doodled with them in her journal. Maybe they were words that she struggled to believe at all and yet hoped that maybe one day they would be true. But somehow these words carried her through these years of war and pandemic and famine, and then they found their way into our lives today. It's as if Julian of Norwich somehow knew that even when we are not okay, and even when the world around us is not okay, stars are still being born. And if God clothes the lilies of the field and the stars of the sky, then how much more will God care for me and for you? Because in the end, everything belongs to God. And God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And one day, even if it's not today, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. Throughout this series on the Lord's Prayer, we have noted how people have turned to this prayer, and it has carried them through the most difficult spaces. We have shared this prayer in recovery meetings in church basements across the country, in hospital chapels and surgery waiting rooms, in airplanes crashing on 9/11, throughout pandemics. And somehow in these harrowing and heartbreaking spaces, this prayer has carried us, anchored us even. As Mark Dowell wrote to me early in this series, when words fail to form and tragedy is too great, the Lord's Prayer reminds us that the Holy One arrives and prays for us. And so with that in mind, as we reflect on what these words mean to us, we wanted to take a moment to sing these words as a church family. And so let's stand together as we sing the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
to share one final story about the Lord's Prayer. Will Willimon and Stanley Hauerwas write about a time when the Lord's Prayer was voiced during World War II. In a prison camp, on a cold, dark evening, after hundreds of prisoners of war had been marched before the camp commander and berated for over an hour, the prisoners were finally returned to their dark barracks and told to be quiet for the rest of the night. Until someone, somewhere in one of the barracks, began saying the words of the Lord's Prayer. Some of his fellow prisoners lying next to him began to pray alongside him. Soon, people in the next building over began to join them, and one by one, each set of barracks joined in the prayer, and as they were ending with the words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory," hundreds of prisoners finally joined their voices in a strong and growing and defiant prayer, reaching this thunderous amen that rang across the entire camp. Willimon and Hauerwas write, "And then the camp was silent. But not before the tables had been turned. The prisoners had thrown off their chains, and a new world had been sighted, signaled, and stated." You see, there's power in this prayer. And so whenever we pray these words in the future, let us not say them flippantly or mindlessly or carelessly like perhaps we have before. Let's say these words with trembling at the power they invoke. Let's speak them with courage and conviction. Let's orient our lives around this prayer so that you and I might help to bring about this kingdom for which we pray on earth as it is in heaven. Let's turn our thoughts and prayers into actions and time and resources and energy and our very lives. But then let's rest in this truth that even when we are not okay, and even when the world around us is not okay, stars are still being born. And if God clothes the lilies of the field and the stars of the sky, then how much more will God care for you and for me? Because in the end, everything and everyone belongs to God. Our job is to seek first the kingdom and then to trust that one day, even if it's not today, all will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. For God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, as is our tradition at Highland, we want to invite you into a time of response. And if you would like to share with your church family something that the Spirit is doing in your life, a decision to follow Jesus and to be baptized, or to join our faith family, we would love to share that moment with you today. I'm mindful, as we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer in this series, that Highland is a family that can pray the words when we don't have them to pray ourselves. When we struggle to believe these words or to say them out loud, this is a community that will say them and believe them for you and with you. And that is a beautiful thing to have in a faith family. And so let us continue in worship.